I think minimalist living is great. I mean, there's only so much resources here on Earth, and the less you can use and get by on, it just creates more abundance for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And if you're comfortable with it, I don't know why anyone else should be opposed to it.
That's like my third favorite quote ever around being who you want to be.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
Well,
young lady,
I think living minimally is probably the coolest thing you can do, really, because in this materialistic world that we live in, we think that this stuff around us will make us a better person or a more respected person. But honestly, the less you have, the less stress you have, mm-hmm. and you can be more present in this world. And also I want to say is that this is a long-held tradition of human beings to be nomadic and carry just what they have on them. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be disrespectful not to allow people to experience having less, to make it illegal to live out of a backpack. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Let's get a kiss.
Oh.
All right. That was Humboldt County. Speaking of someone that's heading to Humboldt County, we have on the phone, dialing in, Paul Bowden from San Francisco Western Regional Advocacy Project. Hello, Paul Bowden.
Hey, brother man, how you doing?
God, it's so good to hear your voice, Paul Bowden. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it, man. What do we need to know about Paul Bowden? I could go on for so long talking about the things you've done, man. Tell us what we need to know about Paul Bowden, and we'll jump into our conversation.
Besides old ornery white guy, I would say, you know, somebody who ended up out in the streets at a very young age, saw what was happening, and has committed the last 35 years to try to finally get a human rights approach to poverty and homelessness.
Yeah, you know, Paul, the very first time I heard you speak, which has been a while now, I was like, I get it. But every time I see you, I'm getting more connected. Every day I get more connected to this issue, I get it more and more and more, and I just appreciate folks like you that are out there preaching the good word, you know?
I mean, imagine a country that saw the human aspect of the people being governed. When we achieve that, which we will, when we do, education, health care, housing, and a living wage are going to be no-brainers. And we'll see the levels of poverty and oppression and criminalization and criminal activities, even where people are attacking each other overwhelmingly. We'll see those things decrease because people will be treated with dignity and respect. And when you treat people with dignity and respect, they tend to in turn treat others the same way. What goes around comes around. Pass it forward. Call it whatever you want. It works. It's real. And that's where we need to go. And if we want to finally, you know, deal with racism and classism in the United States.
Yeah, nice little third. We could probably talk a little bit about Paul because listeners just joining. We're talking with Paul Bowden, Western Regional Advocacy Project. We're doing an extended Without a Roof show today, last show I'm going to do. And we're using some time on Non-Human Radio. One of my friends does this awesome show, Paul, about vegan and animal rights. And I think it'd be nice to kind of talk a little bit about how important it is for people to have loved ones on the street, including their pets.
I mean, it's no different from the connection you see with anyone else and their pet. You know, and the connection you see with anyone else and their loved ones. I mean, for any human endeavor, there's a heart that's in all of us that gets energized and strengthened through love, whether it be for a pet, whether it be for nature, whether it be for other people. That brings strength and vitality to your life. If to live a life with no love is really freaking sad. You end up like Donald Trump or some stuff. But, you know, all of us crave, it's human nature, to crave strengthening the heart. And love is the strongest tool to do that.
It is. I can remember as a written piece that I did. I might have printed it in the Humboldt Edge. It was in Humboldt County anyway, 4 years ago, 4 years of the Humboldt Justice Tour. But I met this lady, Paul, waiting for the bus to go to the Summer Arts Festival. And I had a respectful conversation with her. It was kind of hard, actually. But she was just, like, explaining why people without roofs shouldn't have dogs. You know, and she was adamant. You know, those people don't deserve dogs. You know, they can't take care of them. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm, like, going, trying to add a little bit of sunshine to this conversation. But I couldn't do it. She had made up her mind that not only these people were worthless, but they don't even deserve a dog. You know?
Well, it's very weird to me that how much judgment gets passed on people than for historically, you know, even, you know, based on their economic status and how free others feel to pass judgment on what they're entitled to and what they're not entitled to. And when we look at corporate welfare, when we look at housing subsidies and where the housing subsidy money goes in the United States, you know, it goes to people overwhelmingly earning over $150,000 a year for their home purchases, as opposed to poor people.
Oh. I took him off. Bad.
Sorry about that, Paul Budden. I got to call Paul Budden back. We got Deborah Carey, though, right?
Yes, we do.
We're going to call Paul back. I promise. Technical difficulties. Thanks, Sterling. I know you're doing the best you can. Doing better than I do. We're going to have you and Paul talk together. We're still going to do that because he's calling Paul
okay.
Bowden.
Paul can you Bowden. Hear me?
I can hear you. You're a little low, but I'm
okay. How about that?
That's a little better, Deborah Carey.
Okay.
We've been talking about you since the top of the hour. You know, my good friend Tammy Donaldson came in, who's kind of got the same will and strength as you, huh? Helping people where they're at.
Very nice.
What do we need to know about?
Are you on the air now?
You're on the air now. You are.
We are. I want to give a shout out to the people that are out on the streets that are struggling, especially in California and in Humboldt County. I mean, there's those that are really in the battle. I want to give a shout out to them, to send the love to them, that this is the fight, that, you know, the power is the people and the people are the power. And so because of them, we're in it. I know.
We sure are, Deborah Carey. How's things going in Humboldt County? I know we talked a little bit, just gave you a call, and had a wonderful conversation early this morning, but you know, it looks like Garberville is going to finally have a public restroom. I know that seems to be the biggest battle in any metropolitan area, is about making sure people have some place to go. Maybe give us an update on that.
Yep, she's online.
Hello?
I lost her.
All right, man. Got a lot of losing going on.
I know.
But we're going to get it.
We lost the button.
The button actually came off the thing. I want to play this. Let's see what I'm going to play. I've kind of got this little YouTube playlist of stuff. And I like this. This tells you a little bit about Deborah Carey when I first met her. But we'll get back on. We'll get this back. Thanks for your patience.
Man, I couldn't believe it. I was just getting into Garberville. I'm just kind of looking out the window. Boom, I see Deborah Carey right there. She came up to greet me because someone said there was a new guy here with a backpack. She took me out to Chinese dinner, which was awesome. I mean, just to, you know, share some food with her and get to know her a little bit more. But she took me around. It was just a wonderful time. She's a wonderful person. She's amazing. Highlights for me were the wonderful kid she's trying to help out. He's only 21. Major heart surgery, and you could literally see where the scar was, the beginning of the scar, where they broke open his ribs to get to his heart, and he needed baby aspirins in case he had a heart attack. The doctor said you'll live at more than 70-80% of your heart capacity the rest of your life. So here's a kid, 21, you know, wondering if today's the day or tomorrow. He had a girlfriend about the same age, pretty woman, a Pacific Islander probably, and of similar height. He wasn't the tallest of men. He had an interesting way about him, kind of a boyish look. But anyway, they were actually ecstatic that they both now had sleeping bags. And how cool that is, and how accustomed they've got to it. And the woman said, the young woman, maybe 24, she said, if and when I do get a home and I'm sleeping in my own place, she said, even in a bed, I'll always sleep in a sleeping bag because it's.
You know, I slept in a sleeping bag when I got back indoors, man. It gives you, like, all the warmth and care. Paul, I think you're back. We've been trying to get fancy here and have you and Deborah on at the same time, but there's so much love on the line with the two of you, man. It's overloading. You there, Paul?
It should be.
I don't have anyone Sterling.
Here, try it now.
I don't have anyone Sterling.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. This almost—it's like going to Vegas.
Ask him again.
I don't hear anybody. We got nobody. Let's go back to that. What you were listening to is some raw words that I put together. I did some street writing, some street articles around what I saw in Humboldt County. So I'll get back to that, and then hopefully we can get Paul Bowden and Deborah Carey back on the line here on People Power Radio.
It's around you, and it never leaves you. It engulfs you. You know, that feeling of safety, the feeling of warmth, the cocoon kind of thing. But Deborah knew everybody. Stop, gave a guy a buck to say he needed a buck to get something to eat. Where she had shared that he was more than likely burned by a young tweaker that he threw out of his house. It was a hard story to listen to. She literally knew everybody. I mean, I just think it was a blessing for the community. She just had a way about her. She was a strong-willed woman. You know, at one point that she was... said to the guy real sternly, you know, I heard someone said that girls become your friend, and I got a problem with that. And then he kind of answered, well, that girl, I'm just helping out her boyfriend or something else, but that girl will never become my friend, you know. And she's
all right, man. Who we got on the line? This is like, who's on the line? We got nobody, Sterling. It's not coming in. It's not coming in.
So it's good, because I'd have a problem with that, you know, in a forceful yet encouraging way. But when she walked away, she said, the girl's a tweaker. She's mentally ill, and she's a tweaker. And I kind of added, it becomes hard to know, you know, where the tweaking started or ending in the mental illness, because you can become psychotic and mentally ill from using methamphetamines. It is a psychotic-inducing drug. So you just never know. It's really sad. It really is, you know, when you think about all the hatred, all the vile. Garberville won't let them have a bathroom. There's no public bathrooms in all of Garberville. It's crazy when I think about it.
Hello?
You know, all because they don't want to...
I think that's Deborah Carey. Hey, we're playing.
It is.
Yeah, huh? Does that bring back memories? I was talking about what I saw on the streets of Garberville.
I want to report, too. I don't know where you left off with me, but I want to report that the girl you're describing got in and housed and has been working, and life has been good for her. I don't know where we left off, but I know I was giving a shout out to Humboldt County and to Paul Bowden and to everybody and those that are in the struggle. But
was her name Jen?
That, I remembered that. Sorry. And I just seen Sarah, and she's doing really well. And it's a struggle because of our housing situation. We have no housing, and so, but she's inside and doing well. So that's been a wonderful success story.
Yeah. The other thing I was wanting to share was like someone I had met. You helped her get her front teeth. She used to Spain so she could get food. Mm-hmm. But I'll never forget as long as I live, because I have a young daughter who's about the same age at that time, or maybe a little younger. But I gave this woman, like, bug spray, you know, in a homeless camp for her birthday. And it was really heart-wrenching. She was so excited. She showed me the bug spider bite that she got and how she had to a year. And look how much better it looks. And you could still see it, Deb, after a year. And I'm like, wow, what a life. You know, someone being so happy on their birthday to get bug spray. Huh?
Yeah. It's been really tough in Humboldt County, as it has been throughout the state of California. The lack of affordable housing, the lack of everything, it's just been a real struggle. But I believe, too, that we will turn a corner, and that I know our community is filled with a lot of great people, and that we will have a heart of compassion, and at some point that people have to turn on to this. And I really do want to just say ditto to what Paul Bowden said. Is I've never but once been disrespected out on the streets, and I've been out on the streets a long time in my life, and I've shown nothing but love and respect and honor to the people, and I've gotten nothing but love and honor and respect back from them. And it's proven that when we love each other and we support each other, through everything that we're going through as a community, and we make space for people that we're successful as a community. And what we're seeing is we're not working together, and we're not making space for each other. And it's agreed, you know, especially in my county with marijuana being, you know, number one, it's plants before people. And so, but I do believe that when we get on the right page together, all of these things will come back, because I believe in the people. But we are really struggling in Humboldt County. The criminalization has been awful, as it has been throughout the state. It's just been, whatever's happened in one county is just like wildfire through another county. More ordinances, the people are breaking down. You know, we have not only do we have a shelter crisis, we have a drug crisis, we have a mental health crisis. And it's unfortunate that our leaders lead us into this crisis situation in denial.
Let's talk just a bit about the shelter crisis, Debbie. To cut in there real quick. Deborah Carey from Southern Humboldt. But we had someone at the top of the hour, Tammy Donaldson, talking about how aghast she was that the city, they had a discussion around declaring a shelter crisis. The attorney didn't really understand what that meant, and neither did the council member that brought it before the council. Go figure, huh? But you have a shelter crisis in Humboldt County, correct?
Yeah, well, I wrote the shelter crisis letter almost four years ago in December. And a shelter crisis, of course, is, you know, it's kind of like when you have a X amount of people and only X amount of shelter, and you can't put these people in, we are in a shelter crisis. And so I have been trying. I wrote a letter, and I went to ACLU, and I found this shelter crisis law and took it to the ACLU and said, aren't we here? I mean, aren't we here? I mean, especially in Humboldt County. And I was following suit with Chico. Chico had just did it with ACLU. So I followed suit and personally wrote a letter and went to ACLU, and they said yes. They backed it, wrote letters to the supervisors and to the human rights. The human rights wrote letters to the supervisors, several of them saying yes, this, and they just denied us. It took us 4 years to get on the agenda, and it was Mike Wilson that put us on the agenda for the shelter crisis. And we actually got a shelter crisis declared in the county, and we did get one shelter crisis declared in Eureka, but they gutted it. And what has come out of this shelter crisis is that they are going to put a 9-person task force, and it's the supervisors are going to pick, and there will be people from the Department of Health and Human Services, a task force that will be able, and a trust, housing trust fund, some funds will be in there, and then they're going to give solutions and ideas to the supervisors on how we could address this shelter crisis, because we've been in denial that we're in a shelter crisis. And of course, you know, the Palco Marsh May 2nd, 2 years ago, they dispersed everybody, hundreds of people, out into the streets of Eureka. One of the second most biggest human rights violation I've ever seen, just took these people and just dispersed them and right into the city. And for 2 years, the people, and they just made ordinances, six ordinances, where it just made it, they criminalized just being poor and not having a home in the city of Eureka. And they're really breaking the people down. And I think they've written over 900 tickets. And there's been, like, I think a lot, thousands of bookings. And it's just gone up, ramped up and up with the criminalization, because they just wanted to make it go away. And you and I both know there's nowhere to go. And so that's the fight that we're all in. And putting human rights behind it. This is a human right issue. Shelter is a human right. Education, healthcare, all those things are human rights. And it's taken us a long time to get into that mindset. Trying to get the homeless bill of rights is, I think, very important, because of the fact that these people need rights and they're being violated every day. And I call it the three P's. The three P's: possessions, pets, and partners are the things you can't take into the shelter. And one of the things that we struggle with in Humboldt County, the leaders do, is they don't understand that we're all different. We all have different issues, and we need different solutions. And that and not understanding, just thinking you can jam us all into a shelter, overnight shelter, is the answer, and that's not the answer, because we do have pets, we have property, and we have our partners, and we want to take them with us, and we should be allowing people to sleep in their cars, people that are on bikes, people who are nomadic, in nomadic campgrounds, they should be able to camp. We could have a tiny house villages. Those were all my dreams and visions, and we've been in this fight for years and just been denied. But we do have a shelter crisis declared, and that's taken over 4 years. It'll be 5 years in December. And it's just been a battle, and it's unfortunate because we need to get it solved. The people are struggling, and they're struggling throughout the state. Everywhere you go,
yeah,
people
sure are
struggling.
We've got another guest coming in, and I'm actually going to play Babette in 60 Seconds, Our Skewed Perceptions. I filmed there's a little vignette I filmed there in the church that they were all staying. Remember?
Yes, that was wonderful.
You know? And one thing I wanted to circle back, I think I've said this incident before, but it reminded me about, you know, just being kind and caring. Before I got to Chico, I was in Orville. I was there for like 5 or 6 weeks, and I was talking to a homeless guy, and there was this like this rash of stabbings in Chico, and I just kind of said, "Hey, what do you think of Chico?" And he's looking, he's shaking his head, and I said, "What?" He says, "As long as you act like a human being, you can go anywhere." And I see that happen. That's been my journey. I've never been accosted. I've never been, no one's ever been violent to me. Because I respect people. And I don't look at them like I have fear in my eye.
Right.
I try to explain that to people. If you're looking at people like you're fearful of them, that's a very damaging thing to do. You know?
And it's really scary. I mean, it's really scary to get picked on all the time when you're out and you're vulnerable on the street. It's a breakdown of the human spirit, and having no dignity and a place to use the restroom and shower and try to go to work. A lot of my folks that I love dearly in this community work in this community and live outside. There's housing isn't available. And then to get shunned by the community is really, really hard on your spirit, let alone on your body. The rhythm of life is not made to be walking and packing stuff around and being chased around, but on your spirit and your psyche. And, you know, they want people to quit using drugs, and you can't shame people out of situations. We have to help them out of situations and support them and stand alongside of them. And haven't we all needed it? I mean, I have, and I'm thankful for the people that have stood up alongside of me during my journey in life, and that I think we need to do that for people, is stand alongside of them and let them know that they're loved and supported no matter what's going on in their life, and that we're not going to abandon them.
Amen to that, Deborah Carey. We got to let you go. We got to do an underwriter. What's that?
God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you're streaming, we're going to put Babette and Paul Ensimer on here in just a minute.
Right on.
All righty. Take care.
Have a good night.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And just because they would have to walk in somebody else's shoes for once, you know, just everybody all of a sudden, if you could snap your fingers and go, okay, automatically you're walking in somebody else's shoes.
What do you think they'd learn walking in somebody else's shoes?
That everybody's perceptions are askew. Everyone's, all sides, everybody. Everybody has immediate ideas and formulates a perception on somebody at that first meeting of somebody. And you know that don't judge a book by its cover? We all do it. The houseless do it towards the housed, both ways. I think a lot of those barriers that everybody puts up would crumble if you had just 10 minutes in somebody else's shoes.
Into that one, you know, that one's gold. I haven't played that one in a long, long time. That was just a wonderful words of wisdom from Babette from Southern Humboldt County. And we're doing a little lead-in for the real issue. And before we do that, we're going to do an underwriter with Sterling Ogden.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local seasonal and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star
Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with vegan and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner 7 nights a week with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like us on Facebook. And we're also brought to you by Bruce Jenkins Insurance and Financial Services. Attention, baby boomers turning 65, new to Medicare, leaving an employer plan and looking for competitive quotes. Bruce can help and may help you reduce prescription and insurance costs. For answers about Medicare, you can reach Bruce Jenkins at 530-781-3592 or visit BruceJenkinsInsurance.com for a complimentary consultation. And I just want to take this moment to say, Guillermo Mesh, we will miss you.
All righty. I appreciate that. It's been a wonderful run. Mike, welcome to the show. Mike Hawkins, we're doing a little lead-in. There's going to be a guest on Sue's show coming up. So welcome to KZFR, Mike Hawkins.
Thank you. Good evening.
You know, I wasn't at the council meeting last night, and I guess maybe you were or weren't, but do you have any comments around what happened there from a political perspective?
Council member Coolidge is interested in public safety issues, and he's put together a package of things of which he's interested in doing. Among them is the sit and lie issue that was been bounced around in the community for a while. Now, the council took a long time handling these questions, and 50-some people spoke before the council, which is a rather large number, and a high percentage, I would say about 90, were antagonistic to Council Member Coolidge's package of programs. And in the end, they took a long time and to put this off for subsequent action.
That's your typical thing, kick the can. That's how you solve homelessness.
Government moves slowly, and of course that's going to happen. But I don't know to what extent that they were just afraid not to entertain it, given that there was so much antagonism in the room, because the room got more heated than usual. And heated city council meetings are not unusual, and not unusual in Chico, but I think more so this one brings up body temperatures.
So Coolidge is up for re-election. Do you think he pulled this stunt? I'm calling it a stunt, Mike, because the conservatives could have voted to keep it going. To me, it almost seems like, no, let's just wait and do this the summer of the election, and we can have one of the candidates bring this forward. You know, what do you think around that?
Well, I obviously, if you're contemplating running for re-election, you know what you're going to do in the previous 6 months before the election is an interest. So, yeah, I assume that's the case. But this is an interest of which the conservative members of the council have long had, and probably Coolidge has led this particular issue.
Thank you, Mike Hawkins. And you're going to be on Sue's show?
Yes.
And that's coming up next. I've been filling in for Non-Human Radio with an extended Without a Roof radio program. And any closing comments, Mike, before I jump to our closing stuff?
If you wanted to know more about the issue, which you just brought in, the Enterprise Record today carried a long article discussing the city council and what happened. So if you want more detail than we have time for here, Wednesday, Enterprise Record, page 1.
Yeah, you know what? I can't. Everyone likes to beat up on the paper that doesn't meet their viewpoint, but I don't know where we'd be without the Daily, huh?
I think Thomas Jefferson said something about he'd rather live in a society without government rather than without newspapers.
I'm with Jefferson. Thanks, Mike Hawkins.
You're welcome.
The merchants she hangs out with are...
All right, thanks for tuning in. This is Paul Insomer from Humboldt County.
That's how she put it. Harsh and very harsh, harsh and harsher. The harsh just say, wish they weren't here, and the harsher say, what is the cause? Let's get rid of them. The hippies turn out to be kind and less kind. So the one side is harsh and harsher, and we're kind and less kind. So there's really is a divide between the two. And the hippie merchants, which are quite a few now, tend to be more open, not quite so stressed, and not quite so antagonistic, you know. There hasn't been many places that they've been able to protect. They protected the churches. The churches have not allowed any hippies in. They fought hard all the way. There's only two churches that...
Well, New Wine.
New Wine, and the Assembly of God, to some extent, is pretty open, too, at the end of the street there. But from all the mainstream churches, the big ones, they all stayed pretty much clean. Presbyterian, Lutheran, Anglican died. I had a friend going to that church, and he used to beg his parishioners, open your hearts, don't hate these people, blah, blah, blah. And they just look at him sternly. And then eventually the church disappeared because they couldn't get anybody to go to it because they weren't a church, really. They were just old people ready to die. So we've had a lot of cultural problems here that just don't go away. So when you go to a merchant and they're being unkind, it really depends on which side of the tracks they come from in some ways. My daughter says there's a difference between meth and weed. The straight ones are based on meth and the hippies are based on weed, which is kind of like an overgeneralization, but I like it.
Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Pizzino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
Plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Thanks for listening to
Power Radio.
Wanted to just kind of lay out.
And this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. Listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.